The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
All right, I've been talking about change. You know, there's a lot of change coming. I believe there's a lot of change coming to our world. I believe there's change coming to the Church of Jesus Christ. And most important, God wants change to take place in us. We always need change. I heard Jensen Franklin say something to the effect that the biggest room in the world is room for improvement. And we want, you know, if you're changing, what we're talking about is positive change. So changing and improving. We want to improve. Now, how many of you, speaking of changing and controlling our own environment, because I think that's what we need to learn, is that if we're going to change, we have to learn not to be a thermometer. We need to learn to be a thermostat. Thermometers change with the temperature. Thermostats change the temperature, change the environment. We need to learn to change our environment. How many of you have ever come to church on Sunday morning? You just can't wait to get here to worship God. Have you ever done that? Okay, praise God. That was not me this morning. I didn't come here excited about church. However, I know this. I have learned this principle. That when I feel that way, I praise God louder and stronger. I pray harder. I stand on the word more. And by the time worship was over, I'm ready to go. Praise God. Now that's what I'm talking about. We have to be able to change our atmosphere and change the environment around us and recognize that we have the power to do that through the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. The Spirit of God wants to help you to make changes. Now, one of the things that I have discovered in the body of Christ, some people are being held back because of unforgiveness. And my message this morning is change through forgiveness. I want you to, everyone in here, I want you to recognize that we have all had opportunities to harbor hard feelings towards somebody. We've all been offended from time to time. And I got to tell you, as pastor of Bethel Worship Center, been here going on 20 years now, I have learned that people do get offended by me. Not because I try to offend them. You know, I'm a nice guy, people. I want you to know that. I try to convince myself of that. I really do try to love people and have compassion for people and reach people, but sometimes I say things that are just offensive to someone. However, here's what I have discovered, and that is that if a person believes in me and they believe that I'm trying to be the best pastor I can be and trying to serve God to the best of my ability, you are less likely to be offended by something I say. However, if you are not happy with me and not happy with Bethel Worship Center, you are very easily offended. Something can be said that will set you off. I had no intention to do it, but you're looking. Basically, this is where it's at. You're looking for something to be offended about. Now, I don't want that to be the atmosphere here at Bethel Worship Center. I want the atmosphere to be that we all are working together and striving and understanding and not be so easily offended by one another. But there are other, and that's very important if we're going to continue to change in a positive way for the Lord. We have to be able to overlook one another's faults. Confess our faults to one man. If you make a mistake, you've done something, you confess it to your brother. Hallelujah. Let them know. You know, I didn't mean it, but I found out that I offended you. I'm sorry. This is, you know, it's a good exercise. Right. However, you have to have relationship with people before you're able to do that. So it's important that we form the kind of relationships where we can go to one another and say, I'm sorry, or go to one another and just talk openly with each other. So the possibility of being offended is always there, and the enemy is trying his best to cause offense in the church. Always. But there's also those times that we have unforgiveness in our lives and in our hearts because someone has done us wrong in the past, done something that we're really having a hard time getting rid of, letting go of. And if the body of Christ, if this body is going to have positive change, each one of us has to learn to deal with those wounds of the past and overcome those things. Sometimes those people are still alive and we can deal with it. Sometimes they're gone. They've already passed on and we can't even talk to them about it. But I can guarantee you this, God can still bring healing in your life. So let's talk a little bit this morning about change through forgiveness. Look with me in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, let's look at verse 7. Jesus has been talking to his disciples about praying. And he says to them, and when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for many words. In other words, repeating your prayer, chanting your prayer over and over, that's how the heathen did their prayers in order for God to hear them, their gods to hear them. But he's saying, listen, you don't have to pray like that. What you have to do is pray in faith, believing. When you ask God, he will hear you and he'll answer. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you even ask. Hallelujah. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let's stop right there. Jesus asked or told them the way to pray is one of the things you have to do is to ask God to forgive you the same way you forgive others of their debts. Now, this word debt here in the Greek, it means something that's owed. A just and legal due, a debt. A debtor is one who owes another. So Jesus is liking something that is a financial obligation that you have in this situation, and you have forgiven them, the person of that financial obligation. Now, it's really important that we recognize that Jesus wasn't just talking about money here. He wasn't talking about those who have financial debts and they just forgive. No, because he goes on to say in verse 14, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Read that carefully and understand. These are the words of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's important that we forgive. Now, trespasses, of course, is sins or evil done to you. Jesus is making it very clear to all of us that it's important that we do not allow ourselves to harbor hard feelings toward others and allow it to become full-fledged unforgiveness in our life. people in the body of Christ are bound up by unforgiveness. And the enemy is using it against them. Let me tell you something. If you have unforgiveness in your heart towards somebody, you hurt other people. There's no doubt about that. But the person that is hurt the most is the individual with the unforgiveness. And we'll look at that a little bit as we go through this. In the Old Testament, there was a principle in Deuteronomy that is that God gave to Moses. And it was the every 7 year principle of forgiving debt. It's called the Shemitah. In the 7 year Shemitah, every 7 years, if somebody owed somebody something in the Jewish community, at the end of that 7 years, you were forgiven. If you had borrowed money, you were forgiven. Now, God instituted this so that the rich, the wealthy, or those who had money would be able to help those who didn't. And he told them, he said, I don't care how close, you read this in Deuteronomy chapter 15, I believe it is. He said, I don't care how close you are to the Shemitah year, you're still to loan money to your brothers and sisters that need it. So, if it was year 6 and you knew year 7 was coming up, you were not supposed to withhold it from your brother and sister if they had a need. It was more of giving than it was a loan when you think of it in those terms. However, they did set it up so that they could give. They made payments to pay it off. God forbid the Jews to charge in each one, charge others interest. So they borrowed a certain amount of money, they paid that certain amount of money back. Now here's the thing that I want you to look at, because I'm talking this morning about change through positive change through the right behavior. What's my topic? Forgiveness requires a change of attitude. Yeah. Okay. I'm talking about changing, being forgiven, and having the right attitude about forgiving. Now, here's what happened. The wealthy Jews didn't like this thing very well. So after many centuries of having to go through this Shemitah year and having losing money and the people being forgiven, there was famous Jewish rabbi by the name of Hillel. He was born in 110 BC and he lived to 10 AD. And during his lifetime, he came up with, I believe it was called probola, was the term, something to that effect, where what took place was during the first few years of the Shemitah, before the Shemitah year started, and people were giving money, if they went to the Sanhedrin, the Jewish ruling community, and wrote a declaration and made this thing public domain, this loan public domain, it was no longer it required to be forgiven under the Shemitah year. So it could continue on and on and on. Now, I hope that I haven't confused you with this. In other words, they came up with a loophole to keep people from having their loans forgiven. Now, the reason I share that with you is because I want you to understand that's not unusual for humans to come up with loopholes in our mind not to forgive. We can rationalize, we will justify, we will do everything humanly possible to have an excuse not to forgive those people that have hurt us. And yet Jesus is very clear, if we don't forgive, we're not going to be forgiven. Now I don't know, listen, I'm not going to claim that I understand this when it comes to salvation. All I know is those are the words of Jesus. And surely we do not want to go against the words of Jesus. I'm telling you that the first thing to, in order to walk in forgiveness, in order to do exactly what we said we were going to do, understand that change in our attitude toward forgiveness is very important, we have to get a hold, we have to get a handle on the way we think about the other person that we are not forgiving. We have to change our attitude about it. Just like I talked about this morning when I came in here, I didn't really have the right attitude. My wife will verify that. First thing that happened to me this morning, I had my suit on. She had me a mug of tea, set it on the dresser. I knocked it off, spilled it all over my suit. Not a good start to my morning. Got blood on my, got a scratch on my thumb, got blood on my shirt. Not a good start. But you know what? In order to overcome that, I had to take control of my attitude. And I had to walk with the right attitude. And the same thing happens when it comes to forgiveness. If we're going to forgive somebody, it begins, it must begin right here with your attitude toward that person. You have to capture your thoughts. You have to overcome those negative things that come into your mind. You have to stop talking about them in a negative way. You have to change your attitude. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. If you say you've forgiven somebody and every time you think about them, your blood boils, you have not forgiven. You say you've forgiven somebody and every time you talk to a family member about that person and you get irate, you feel it, you feel your blood pressure going up, there's something wrong. You've got to change your attitude toward that person. This is not the complete answer to this thing, but this is the first step. You have to change your attitude. And only you can control that. No one else. Only you. I can't control Otis' attitude. I can't control Tammy's attitude. Although sometimes I try to. I can't do it. I can't control anybody's attitude. Only you can. And the first step of the proper attitude or through forgiveness is the proper attitude. So number one, make sure we have the right attitude. The second thing, Matthew 18. Matthew chapter 18, verse 23. We've all read this many times, and this is an important, very important scripture in regards to forgiveness and understanding unforgiveness. And Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but to 70 times 70. He was talking to Peter. Peter just asked him, how many times do I forgive my brother? And Jesus says, basically he's saying there's no stop to it. You know, if you forgive him 490 times, you're going to forgive him. You know, it doesn't matter how many times. So he's saying to Peter, listen, it doesn't matter. Just keep forgiving. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. Now, it's important that we understand a talent was a weight for gold and silver. It was probably about 75 pounds. Now, there were Roman talents, coins. Can you imagine carrying those things around in your pockets? A weight of about 75 pounds. So it was, you know, it was a lot of money, even in their day and time. Let's go on. Okay. I lost track where I was. What verse? 24. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. Okay, thank you. And but as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. And the servant before him, therefore, fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, Have patience with me, for I will pay you all. And he would not, but went and threw him into prison until he could pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had closed, called him and said to him, You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have compassion on your fellow servant just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the tormentors until he could pay all that was due him. So my Father, Heavenly Father, also will do to you if you, each of you, from his heart, does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Strong words by Jesus. The man that was forgiven owed 10,000 talents, which is a huge amount. A talent is worth about 600 denarii, which is a day's, 1 denarii is a day's wages. 6,000 days' wages is 16 years of wages. 10,000 denarii would have been 160,000 years of wages. That's what was forgiven him. A huge amount of debt. The other gentleman just owed 100 denarii, approximately 14 weeks worth of wages. So the contrast here is incredible. And as you see, the man that was not forgiven, the consequences came upon him as well. And here's what it's very important for us to understand. When we don't forgive somebody, we do bring some negative into their life because we're binding them up. But the one that suffers the most is the gentleman that refused to forgive because he was turned over to the tormentors. And the tormentors will destroy your life. The tormentors desire to torment you because of the unforgiveness that you have in your heart. And only you can release that person. This man had the ability to release his fellow laborer. And what did he do? He had him put in prison. Had him bound up. And his master said to him, You wicked servant. I forgave you so much. And you refused to forgive. If you're harboring unforgiveness, you must, listen, we must change our attitude. But the second thing we have to do is to change our behavior. We have to recognize that our behavior is part of this. Forgiveness requires a change of behavior. This man could have changed his behavior toward his brother, and he refused to do it. Look with me in Luke chapter 6, verse 27 and 28. Woe to you when all men speak well of you, for so did the fathers do to the false prophets. And he says, but I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who spitefully use you. Now, I changed gears here just a little bit, because before he was talking about brothers. Now he's talking about somebody that is absolutely your enemy. And he's saying, Jesus is saying, you must recognize that even your enemies have to be loved. Even your enemies, you must forgive. Even your enemies must be treated well. And how do you know whether you're acting according to God's will? And that is when your enemy needs something, are you willing to give it to them? Are you willing to reach out to them? So that it's extremely important that we recognize that if we can't do this with our brothers and sisters in Christ and forgive and stop harboring hard feelings or stop allowing the enemy to bring these things back into our lives from our past. Listen, I know many of you have been wounded deeply by people. If you've been alive any time, somebody's wounded you. Somebody's hurt you. Somebody's cut you deep. And if you do not take the proper steps toward forgiveness, that wound will continue to be infected and infect your whole life, your whole body. You know that there's that horrible infection, septa, is that what it's called? That gets septus? Okay. Septus. And sometimes if people aren't careful, it'll get in their blood and affect your whole being. Unforgiveness will get in your blood. It'll affect you for your whole life. You've got to change your attitude toward it. You've got to change your attitude toward that person. You've got to change your behavior toward those people. And listen, if the person is already deceased, you can't talk to them. You can't change your behavior toward them. But you can change your attitude and your actions when you're talking to other people about them. Those are the two things that are your responsibility. Now I want to talk to you about God's responsibility. The third thing. If we will do our part, the third thing that God wants to do . Forgiveness requires a change of heart. I believe if we will do our part, the Holy Spirit will do the rest in us. He'll change our heart. He wants to change that in us. And if we go along throughout our life and we do our very best, we change our attitude toward people, we change our behavior about unforgiveness, the Holy Spirit will move in and supernaturally help us and deal with this bitterness and this pain. And the wound will be healed. Time after time, I've seen this happen in people's lives. They've been wounded, but they chose to do the right thing. They chose to walk in forgiveness, and the Holy Spirit gave them the forgiveness that was necessary in their heart. Luke chapter 19, just go over a few chapters in Luke. This is the story of Zacchaeus. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half my goods to the poor, and I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. And listen to what Jesus said. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. I would say in this particular situation, Zacchaeus took some steps toward Jesus, toward doing the right thing. And in the process, Jesus brought a miraculous healing in his life. And that's what Jesus wants to do in our life. That's what Jesus wants to do if you have these wounds in your life and you're dealing with some unforgiveness. The Lord Jesus Christ wants you to be healed and mended. He also wants you to take the proper steps. Change your attitude. Change your behavior. And let the Lord change your heart. Hebrews 12:14 says, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up and cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. I believe what happens to us is when we're wounded like that, a root of bitterness gets inside of us. And that root will grow and grow and grow. And it has to be eradicated. You have to get that thing out of your heart. You have to take the right steps toward God and let God do the work inside of you. The word here, root or bitterness, it means gall, extreme wickedness, a bitter root, producing bitter fruit. We want good fruit to be produced in our lives, each and every one of us. I would think that all of us want good fruit. And yet, as human beings, sometimes there's not such good fruit that comes out of us. And when it comes to unforgiveness, that root of bitterness will get inside of you and cause you over and over again to produce fruit that is unbecoming to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a plant called a yucca plant. Anybody ever seen the yucca plant? Okay, it also produces a beautiful flower. And the yucca plant is used for several things. It can make soap, shampoos out of it. It also is for medicinal purposes. It helps with the joints. People can take parts of it, and it helps relieve joint pain. So, you know, it's a positive plant. But most people plant it for, it's an ornamental plant. It has a beautiful flower that comes up on it. And most people who plant it don't realize that once you plant a yucca plant, you're going to have yucca plants everywhere. Yucca grow up all over the place because their root spreads out and it goes deep and if you try to eradicate the yucca plant, it's very difficult. You can think you have it, you dig it all up, you dig a great big pit, you got it out, and a year or two later, yucca plants are coming back up. It's almost impossible to eradicate. And I think the yucca plant has a lot of similarities to the root of bitterness that gets inside of us. Because as hard as we might try as believers in Jesus Christ to get rid of this root of bitterness, it keeps springing back up. We try to eradicate it. That's why I'm telling you that your part is the right attitude and right behavior. God's part is to cleanse your heart and to get rid of that bitterness that is inside of you. I'm telling you, yes, you pray. You ask God to cleanse you of that. But your responsibility constantly is attitude and behavior. Attitude and behavior. And one day, you will find healing has come to your heart. I believe this. I've seen it happen over and over. I've seen God do a mighty work in people's lives. But that unforgiveness, that pain that is there, the Spirit of God wants to deal with it. He wants it eradicated from your life. Stand with me. Change through unforgiveness is what I was talking about this morning, because I believe that you, if in order for us to keep moving ahead and changing, we cannot allow that unforgiveness to continue in our hearts. It has to be eradicated. And the Spirit of God wants to do that in your life. Let's pray. Father, I know that there are, in a group of people this size, there's people that have been wounded deeply. There's people that have been hurt, Lord, because the enemy sets up these traps, these schemes that people fall into. And other people are responsible for things that they should not be. And they bring great hope and great wounds and great difficulty into people's lives. But Father, you've called your people to be a forgiving people. You've called us to walk in forgiveness and not to allow unforgiveness to overtake us and keep us from accomplishing your will. Lord, our desire is to be everything you want us to be. And this morning, I just ask that you touch the hearts of your people. There are some in here this morning that have been wounded in the past. They've been wounded by people in this congregation. They may have even been wounded by me, Father God, and I hope that that's not the case. But I would ask forgiveness if that is the case. I want to hurt no one. I want your kingdom to be established. I want people to be built up. And Father, in Jesus' name this morning, I ask that you touch the hearts and the minds of individuals who have been wounded. That bitterness will be removed. That the power of the enemy will be broken. And Father God, that they will continue to walk with the right attitude, the right behavior, and the freedom that comes through knowing you have removed this pain. Father, you're such an awesome and mighty God. And today we proclaim freedom over your people, strength and power in the name of Jesus Christ. Go with your people today, Father, wherever we go and whatever we do. Help us to walk in unity, to love one another as you have called us to. In Jesus' name, amen. If there's anybody who'd like to have prayer for healing, please come up. Prayer warriors, if you'd please come up, and if anyone would like prayer, they're prepared to pray with you this morning.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber. I hope this message has touched you in some way. Our purpose and desire for these podcasts is to edify believers and share the good news of salvation in Christ. If you'd like to receive Christ as your Savior today, look up Romans chapter 10, verse 9. It makes it very simple. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. If you'd like more information on salvation, visit our website at bethelwc.org. We have a section that explains it in more detail. If you confess Christ for the first time today, welcome to the family, and we would love to hear from you. Be blessed.